This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying tuned here with us on The Morning Run. I'm Lynn Mark and here with Wang Shaoning. Now it's 7:18 in the morning, Friday the 13th of March, and in about half an hour we're speaking with Tricia Yeo, a fellow at the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs, on Malaysia's state politics. But in the meantime, we are turning our focus today to Malaysia's economy, because as economies around the world are struggling to stay afloat against this backdrop of COVID-19, oil price wars and trade tensions, our government has decided to set up an Economic Action Council as an immediate step to address these economic woes. And this is going to be chaired by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, and it's meeting every Monday. The first meeting, in fact, is next Monday, March 16th.
Now, our Prime Minister has said that this move is an immediate step to show that they are not delaying mitigation issues. Now, for the first meeting, he requested stakeholders to bring up any issues or problems through the relevant ministries for this EAC to find solutions. I think one of which, of course, is the problems faced by the B40 group in tiding over the high cost of living. Our Prime Minister also added that the economic stimulus package announced by the previous government would be re-examined, including the possibility of increasing the allocation. Other than restoring investor confidence, this would ensure target groups would benefit from the package. And the Ministry of Finance, which is now headed by Tunku Zafro, is tasked with looking into the package, which will be fine-tuned within the next 2 weeks.
Now, the Finance Ministry is also clearly going to have another look at Budget 2020, because Tan Sri Muhyiddin said that he'll be awaiting the Finance Minister's report before making any decision on whether the budget will be revised under his government. So, for more on this, this morning we have on the line with us Firas Raad, Country Manager for Malaysia, East Asia and the Pacific at the World Bank, to discuss what measures the EAC should target, as well as the trajectory of Malaysia's economic growth amid a global slowdown. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Firas. So what should be the main focus of the government's newly formed Economic Action Council going forward?
Good morning, and thank you for the question. It's clear that Malaysia is facing multiple and simultaneous challenges. So a steady hand will be needed from the Economic Action Council that was recently formulated. It will be important to balance, in our view, immediate and short-term agendas, including mitigating the impact of COVID-19 on Malaysia's economy, spurring growth, jobs and investment, and protecting the vulnerable, while also not losing sight of the medium-term challenges the country is facing. And these challenges, as you know, revolve around boosting human capital, promoting productivity growth and innovation, and implementing important social protection reforms. These medium-term policy changes will be required to ensure that Malaysia achieves greater shared prosperity and successfully makes this transition to high-income and developed nation status in the years ahead.
So does the World Bank have a projection on when we might see normalization of the economy?
So it's hard to say given the emergence and evolution of these shocks. WHO, as you know, announced yesterday that the COVID-19 outbreak has become a global pandemic, and this will naturally continue to have effects on the global economy, which will in turn affect Malaysia's growth prospects as an open trading nation. The challenge for Malaysia, again, will be to mitigate the effects of these shocks while also trying to spur growth, investment and job creation and protect the vulnerable, while at the same time keeping an eye on the fiscal consolidation agenda. In the World Bank, we keep on updating our economic projections on almost a daily basis based on events that are happening. Past experience from cross-border outbreaks of disease provide us with some degree of guidance, and countries around the world have been taking a number of monetary and fiscal measures to mitigate these effects, as I said. And clearly, you know, some countries are maybe more adept at dealing with these shocks than others, and already there are many lessons to be learned on what works best in these kinds of situations. But one important factor, naturally, is having a good communication strategy in place as an important and critical element of a successful response.
So since it seems like we are marching towards a global recession, how would that impact Malaysia?
So we don't know yet if the COVID-19 pandemic will push the world into a recession as a whole. There are still so many unknowns when it comes to the spread of this virus, to the speed and the effectiveness of policy responses, and how human behavior will change in response to this pandemic. It's clear that several countries which were already experiencing very slow growth, particularly in Europe, will probably be tipped into recession as a result of the pandemic. Now, as for Malaysia, and given that it is an open trading economy relying significantly on exports, FDI, tourism, international oil prices, it will naturally be affected. But as the COVID-19 crisis plays out, different countries will be affected and recover in different stages. So Malaysia may benefit by the early recovery of some of its trading partners.
So what policy measures should the Malaysian government consider to counter this slowdown?
The Malaysian government already has undertaken important health policy measures and both monetary and fiscal measures, as I said, to offset the projected economic slowdown. And we've seen two rate cuts on the monetary side, the fiscal stimulus package worth 20 billion ringgit on the fiscal side. The task ahead would be to implement this package, I think, as quickly as possible. Especially for those measures not requiring legislation, and perhaps for those that do, the legislation would have to be pushed forward as promptly as possible. And so there are, I think, important measures in the package. There are ones related to restructuring and rescheduling of loans, service tax exemptions for hotels. There's the reduction in EPF contributions from 11% to 7%. That is a big one and probably easier to implement than others. There's the moving up of the payment of the payments to the social assistance beneficiaries, in addition to some of the big public sector investment projects that will be accelerated. And we've heard from the government that those probably will be similar to the National Fiberization and Connectivity Initiative, and there are also initiatives related to solar energy. And that's in addition also to some funds that have been made available by BNM to promote SME development in the country. So I think there are different measures the government has taken. Now, I would say that there are factors also that will constrain the government's ability for implementing further fiscal and monetary measures, given the projected drop in oil revenues, the two rate cuts that have already been done, and the relatively high levels of household indebtedness. And as I mentioned before, it's important to not lose sight as well of the important medium-term structural policies around human capital development and boosting productivity growth and innovation and improving competition in the economy. So overall, I think the government has done a good job at putting together a series of measures. Now the task ahead is to move ahead and to implement them.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Firas. And that was Firas Rad, Country Manager for Malaysia, East Asia and the Pacific at the World Bank. And stressing there that it's important not to lose sight of some of the other reforms that are needed, particularly when it comes to assisting, for example, our human capital.
Yeah, and also small businesses, right? But I think the reality is that it does seem that we have to brace for some tough times ahead. We are still a net energy exporting nation, so not so good for us when oil is at $30 a barrel. Plus, like what he mentioned, we already had two rate cuts. So how much more dry powder do we have? Added to that is that our household debt still remains stubbornly high, above 80%. So we are facing headwinds as a nation.
Absolutely. And with the COVID-19 also still now declared a global pandemic, you know, the outlook is also even more dire for aviation industries around the world. And this morning, we are looking as well at our local airlines. Malaysia Airlines has become the latest of these companies to ask its 13,000 strong employee base to take voluntary unpaid leave. Now, MAB is the latest airline to offer this voluntary unpaid leave program to its employees. And this is an Edge source story confirmed by Malaysia Airlines. Starting April, Malaysia Aviation Group gave its staff the option to either voluntarily take 5 days of unpaid leave per month for at least 3 months or between 1 to 3 months. So this program is also extended to employees employed by subsidiaries of MAG like MAB Cargo, MAB Engineering, Firefly, as well as Muswings.
Yeah, and on Monday, MAS Group CEO Captain Isham Ismail also announced a 10% pay cut for its senior management and to forego their allowances. Now, of course, this is part of the measures to lower operational costs. They've also cancelled more than 2,000 flights up to April due to travel restrictions. And in the first quarter of this year alone, MAS removed 7.1% of its capacity. They've, of course, cut capacity to China by 53% and 23% to affected routes in South Korea and Japan. But they're not the only airline doing so, because even AirAsia are also taking measures to stay afloat to cope with the impact of COVID-19. So a source told us New Straits Times that the AirAsia group is expected to implement a 10% salary cut starting in March. And this is primarily directed at departmental heads, including captains and certain senior executives.
Of course, we can't also forget Malindo Air, which was the first local airline to take these measures as amid the fears of the coronavirus. In a company-wide memo sent last Friday, Malindo Chief Executive Officer Mushafiz Mustafa Bakri requested his employees to take a pay cut of up to 50%. Now, the company also has ordered 5,200 members of its staff to take 2 weeks of unpaid leave each month until COVID-19 subsides.
So of those listed, AirAsia is, and just on a one-month basis, their share price is already down 23%. But it's a similar picture for all other listed airlines like Qantas, Virgin Australia, or even Air New Zealand.
Now, we are running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, are you concerned you might have to take a pay cut due to the economic impact of COVID-19? Tell us what you think. But right now, we are heading into the 7:30 news. And up next, we're talking about US President Donald Trump's travel ban. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.